ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا يوفون بالنذر ويخافون يوما كان شره مستطيرا. Enlighten your hearts and your sessions with a loud salawat for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Tonight is the eve of the 7th of Safar, the 7th day of the month of Safar. On the 7th day of the month of Safar, Islam and the Muslim Ummah lost one of the iconic figure in Islam, and that is the first grandson to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And that grandson, who was killed at the age of 46, is Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba, Al-Hasan Al-Zaki, alayhi salatu wassalam. And I am going to speak tonight, in whatever time I have, about two aspects of the Imam's life. And I will speak further about him tomorrow during the Friday sermon, and inshallah on Saturday at Husseini Islamic Center in Pico Rivera. Two aspects tonight. One of them is his struggle against dictatorship and tyranny. And the second aspect, his humanitarian work, his humanitarian efforts in saving the dignity of his community in Medina. As to the first one, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was accepted and was chosen by the Ummah to be the successor to his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wassalam was assassinated. He was killed when he was in his sanctuary on the year 40th. So immediately after the assassination of the Imam in Kufa, the Muslim community decided that the best one to succeed the father is his son, Al-Imam al-Hasan, alayhi salatu wassalam, who could be at that time at the age of probably 37. So they paid allegiance to him, bay'ah. They made bay'ah and they chose him to be the leader. But of course, at that time, there was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Muawiyah, the most cunning and the most deceiving person in the history of the Arabs, not just Islam, in the history of the Arabs. And this has been mentioned by many historians. Historians, when they analyze the character of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, they say, كان أكثر العرب دهاءً. He was the most cunning and deceiving person within the universal Arab community. Muawiyah came to power during the reign of the second caliph. This is how he infiltrated the political establishment. During the reign of the second caliph, he was appointed the governor of a very important province in Islam, and that is Sham or Syria. And Sham at that time encompassed the current Syria, the current Palestine, the current Jordan, and part of Lebanon too. They used to call that area Sham, Bilad al-Sham. He became the caliph. And when Umar died, he was succeeded by Uthman. Uthman from the same family, from the same clan. Uthman from Bani Umayyah too. So he reinforced the position of Muawiyah in Syria as a governor. And when Uthman was assassinated and people elected Imam Ali as a fourth successor, Imam Ali decided that if you want me to be your leader, then my policy is very strict. With those who are corrupt, I am not going to be lenient or forgiving. Those who are corrupt in the political system have to leave. They cannot stay in office. I have zero tolerance for those who are corrupt, for those who are thieves, for those who believe in nepotism and favoritism, and they spend the wealth of the nation on their friends and their relatives. Such people, they have no place in my system, political system. They said to him, you can't do this, because some of them, they are veterans in politics. You can't just remove them. He said, I don't know. I don't recognize any person as a veteran or non-veteran. No corrupt person has a place in my government. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ أَطْلُبَ النَّصْرَ بِالْجَوْرِ Do you want me? This is very important. This sentence is very important. And we have to follow this sentence. You have to follow that in your family, in your center, in your community, in your society, and your country. Do you want me to seek justice through corruption? أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ أَطْلُبَ Do you expect me to seek justice through injustice? Through people who are unjust and corrupt, those people are going to implement justice? That would not happen. That does not happen. People who promote justice, people who implement justice, have to be just themselves. They cannot be corrupt. Someone who's corrupt cannot follow justice. Someone who's corrupt is violating justice. So he cannot be appointed in my government. Many of them were unhappy. They said no. Those people were during the time of Umar, and then they stayed during the time of Uthman. Imam Ali said, this is my policy. And therefore, he ordered Muawiyah to be removed. But Muawiyah, at that time, when Imam Ali came to government, when he became Khalifa, Muawiyah had been in power for 20 years. Not 1 or 2 years. 20 years. And he had spent the treasury of the state on a propaganda. On false propaganda. Muawiyah would purchase people with his money. He will purchase their loyalty, and he will ask them, just like some media outlet today. Some media outlets today, their business is not to tell you the truth. They are the farthest from the truth. Their business is to advocate certain lobbies, certain cases that fits their own agendas. They are not about telling you the truth. They manipulate the truth. They fabricate the news. If the president has one sentence which is correct, and I agree with him. We have a lot of fake news. I agree with him. Not all of them, not all, but a lot of fake news. This is true. This is true. So Muawiyah was the founder of fake truth, fake news. Fake news was established during the time of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Unfortunately, this is the first violation in the history of Islam. The Prophet of Islam is the Prophet of truth, the Prophet of honesty. He tells us to speak the truth, to advocate the truth. He says the best quality in a believer are two qualities. صِدْقُ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَةِ. To be truthful in your statements and your sayings, and to fulfill the trust. Don't steal. Don't follow. Don't do illegal things. You have to be honest. Muawiyah came, he destroyed these two principles. Not only Muawiyah was lying, but Muawiyah encouraged lies too. And he sponsored some universal liars. They mastered the art of lying. I don't mention the names, but their names are mentioned in history. He hired them, he gave them money, they worked for his establishment to fabricate news. To do two main things. One is to put Ahlul Bayt down, especially Imam Ali. They targeted Imam Ali. Their main target was Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam. The second mission they had, second objective, is to praise Muawiyah and Bani Umayyah. Therefore, Muawiyah decided that kullu manqabatin, every virtue that belongs to Ali, they have to change the name from Ali to Muawiyah. And then you come to the books of hadith and you read certain narrations that you can tell they are not correct. They are not true. These are fabrications. Still today, people read them and speakers declare them in public. One of them, Al-Umana'u ala al-Wahyi thalatha. The Prophet says, only God trusted the three people with his revelation. Imagine, no more than three. Number one, the Prophet himself has to be trusted. The second, Jibreel. And the third is Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. Imagine he even bypassed Umar and Abu Bakr. Look at his audacity, that he did not even put Umar and Abu Bakr, at least put the names of those two people. They brought you to power. They appointed you the governor. Three people. And this hadith, many people today, right now, in many members and pulpits in Islam, they still say this hadith and they believe in it. And they praise Muawiyah. Imam al-Nisa'i, one of the Sunni transmitters and narrators of hadith. Hafiz. Hafiz means someone who transmits the hadith on his authority. And he has a book. One of them is Imam al-Nisa'i. Actually, one of the main six books in the Sunni tradition is Sunan al-Nasa'i. Nasa'i says that he came to Syria. They said to him, you are not praising Muawiyah. Why there is nothing? He said, I have nothing about him except one hadith in my book. And the hadith is, the Prophet one day called Muawiyah. He wanted to speak to him. They came to the Prophet, they said, Ya Rasulallah, innahu ya'kul, he's eating. The second time, after some time, when some time passed, the Prophet called him again. Again, they came back to the Prophet, they said, innahu ya'kul, he's still eating. The third time he called him, after some time passed, still he was eating, they came. So when the Prophet heard this for the third time, that Muawiyah is still eating, he made a dua against Muawiyah. He said, La ashba'allahu batna. May God never allow his stomach to be filled. May he always eat and eat and eat. And the prayers of the prophet was very true. God answered the prayers of the prophet. Muawiyah, his main hobby and his main habit was eating. Before Muawiyah, beginning with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, when he gives a speech, he would stand. He stands on the pulpit. After him, Abu Bakr would stand, Umar stands, Uthman stands, Imam Ali stands. Muawiyah, because he was heavyweight, he could not stand. So the first caliph who introduced sitting while speaking was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. He could not stand. Imam al-Nasa'i said, I لا أعرف له منقبة إلا حديث رسول الله. I know nothing, no virtue about Muawiyah except this hadith. The Prophet said, may God never allow his stomach to be filled. This man becomes the caliph, my friends. Don't you feel sorry for Islam? Don't you feel sorry for this book, the Holy Quran, for this great religion? Don't you feel sorry for the heritage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the legacy of the Prophet? When someone like Muawiyah becomes Amirul Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Muslimin. When Muawiyah becomes Amirul Mu'mineen, I'm not surprised if Salman ibn Abdul Aziz becomes Amirul Mu'mineen today. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised when Al Saud, they became the wali, the guardians of the Muslim Ummah. It happened 1400 years ago. The Ummah that accepts Muawiyah as Amir al-Mu'mineen, they deserve no better than Al Saud and Al Khalifa and those people in the Gulf and elsewhere. But the people who accept Imam Ali alayhi salam, who followed Imam Ali, they are loyal to him because he's a just person. Not only because he's appointed by the Prophet. Not just because he was appointed by Allah and the Prophet. His character, Imam Ali, was unique. Would we compare him to Muawiyah? Ali and Muawiyah? This is biggest injustice. But Allah says, in this life, there are some people who open their eyes and their hearts, and some of them, they walk blind. We just heard Surah Al-Mulk, just right now. أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. God says, which is better? To walk and follow blindly, not seeing your way, or to walk while you see? And you know, and you realize, and you distinguish. Definitely the second one is better. أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In this life, some people chose to be blind. Blind. And if someone is blind, blind-hearted, sometimes someone, he loses his physical sight, this is not a big disaster. His ears are open, his heart is open. But when someone loses the spiritual sight, spiritual and moral compass, this is the big disaster. Definitely that person is not going to be sawiyan ala sirat al-mustaqim. He's not going to follow sirat al-mustaqim, the rightful path. So Muawiyah, he used propaganda against Ahlul Bayt. One of these propagandas, one of these ahadith, I'll give you an example of that, that were fabricated during his reign by his money, with his support, with his sponsorship. You know, there was a battle of Siffin. When Muawiyah refused to leave power, not only he defied Imam Ali and he challenged him, he mobilized his army, the Syrian army, the army of Sham at that time under his leadership, to cross the border, travel from Damascus all the way and come to the Iraqi territories to fight Imam Ali alayhi salam. And the two armies, and Imam Ali being the caliph, has to defend his state and his country. So the two armies, they met in Siffin. Siffin now, it's part of Syria now. And the two armies, they met there. Eventually, the army of Muawiyah was defeated. But then he resorted to a trick. The trick is that when he was almost defeated, he said to Imam Ali, okay, we cannot, you know, reach a settlement. At least let's put the Quran in the middle between us and you. Let's put the Quran. And then Muawiyah chose Amr ibn al-As, another cunning person like him. And the people around Imam Ali, they chose Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He was not fond of Imam Ali at all, unfortunately. And they did what they called tahkim. Tahkim, that these two representatives, each one from one side, they sit together. And then they decide what to do for the fate of this battle. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he was not fond of Imam Ali. He was not loyal to him, so he betrayed Imam Ali. He said, I am going to remove Imam Ali from the government. Amr ibn al-As said, if you remove Ali, I am going to reinforce Muawiyah to be the caliph. And this is how the theatrical show, it's a theatrical show of tahkim, arbitration, ended. And there was ceasefire at that time. And after that, Imam Ali was killed. And Imam Hassan was chosen to be the caliph. Again, Muawiyah did not surrender. He continued his fight, this time against Imam Hassan. And Imam Hassan, he mobilized the troops to go. But unfortunately, his army was weak. People were fragmented, people were weak, people were tired of several wars, and many of them were not even loyal to Ahlul Bayt. Some of them were Kharijites. Some of them were the fifth column inside the army of Imam Hassan, who didn't like him. And they did not like his father, because justice is not accepted by people, my friends. This is our book. Our book says the majority of people, they dislike justice. They don't like strict justice. They don't. When a ruler becomes just and is strict and he advocates justice, many people, they don't like him. Only those who are going to like him, those who are righteous and virtuous. And those are qaleel. Allah says, the virtuous are very few. Very few. And this is what happened. They betrayed Imam Hassan, alayhi salam. And then Muawiyah, he fabricated a hadith. What does the hadith say? And this hadith is common, especially in the Sunni circles, that Imam Hassan is my grandson and God is going to bring two communities together and make a peace among them through Imam Hassan. What are the two communities? The two communities are the army of Imam Hassan and Amir al-Mu'mineen on the one hand, and the army of Muawiyah on the other hand. Here, Muawiyah, he wants to polish his image. Because in the Battle of Siffin, there was a scandal that took place. And a big embarrassment for Muawiyah. When Ammar ibn Yasir was killed. Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the loyal Sahaba companions, But you don't hear about him now. You hear about Abu Fulan and Fulan and Fulan. But Ammar, they don't mention his name. Abu Dharr, they don't mention their name. As if they are not Sahabis. Ammar ibn Yasir, the Prophet says, مُلِئَ إِيمَانًا مِنْ قَرْنٍ إِلَىٰ قَدَمٍ. This man is full of faith. He is filled with faith from head to toe. This is exactly how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes Muawiyah. Describes Ammar ibn Yasir. Muawiyah killed this man, Ammar, where? In the Battle of Siffin, on the 9th of Safar. His anniversary would be in 2 or 3 days from now. On the 9th of Safar, year 37 Hijri. 37. At the age of 39. One day, the Prophet turned to Ammar. He said to him, Ya Ammar, تَقْتُلُكَ الْفِئَةُ الْبَاغِيَةِ. The Prophet mentioned to many of his close friends how they're going to die. The Prophet, he said this to so many of them. He said this to Abu Dharr, Ya Abu Dharr, تَمُوتُ وَحْدَكَ تَعِيشُ وَحْدَكَ وَتَمُوتُ وَحْدَكَ وَتَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَحْدَكَ. The Prophet mentioned the story of death, the story of the death of many of his companions. He told them 20 years, 30 years before their death, he told them how they're going to die. One of them is Ammar. Said to him, Ya Ammar, the aggressors, Al-Fi'atul Baghiya, are going to murder you. And a sign for your death, they're going to be a major sign. Your last drink in this life is going to be a cup of milk. وَآخِرُ شَرَابِكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا ضَيَاعٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ. This is a sign. Once you drink this, after that you're going to be killed. And this has happened in the Battle of Siffin. Ammar was on the side of Imam Ali, fighting the army of Muawiyah. Ammar is 93 years old. He was thirsty. They brought him a cup of milk. He realized that he's not going to survive any longer. And this is what happened to him. Ammar was killed by the army of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. It was a big embarrassment for Muawiyah because this hadith was popular. And many people who were in the battlefield on both sides, they knew about this hadith. So many people, when they saw Ammar was killed by Muawiyah, they turned to Imam Ali's side. He said, this is a clear indication that Muawiyah is wrong. Fi'atul Baghiya, he's the aggressor. But Muawiyah, he paid money to some people who do some analysis. Political experts. They said, in fact, the one who killed Ammar is not Muawiyah, is the one who brought him to the war. And that one is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And of course, some people, yes, believe in that. The other fabrication that Muawiyah spread it about Imam al-Hasan, is that Imam Hasan married more than 300 wives. Imam Hasan, when he was killed, he was poisoned, he was only 46. How much time did he have to marry 300 wives? How much time? Where do you put 300 wives? What house? What room? What community? Imam al-Hasan, when he was in Kufa, he used to have one room in his father's house. These are the fabrications. More than that, Bani Umayyah, they accused Sukayna, the daughter of Imam Hussein, that after the death of her father in Karbala, Sukayna bintul Hussein, she used to have entertainment sessions in your house in Medina. entertainment sessions. She used to bring people who recite poetry, music, you know, in her house. Shu'ara, poets. Imagine Sukaina, who stood against tyranny. Sukaina, who saw her father dies right before her eyes. Right before her eyes. Is she a type of person who would go back to Medina and open her house for entertainers to come to her house? This is one of the fabrications of Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah, they said that the reason why the Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَى لِرِضَى فَاطِمَةَ وَيَغْضَبْ لِغَضَبِهَا, God is happy for the happiness of Fatima and he is angry for her anger, is because she was angry with her husband Ali ibn Abi Talib. These are the fabrications of Bani Umayyah. Bani Umayyah, they said Imam Ali, he fall in love with the daughter of Abu Jahl, and he almost married the daughter of Abu Jahl. And the Prophet came to him. He could not stay at home. Fatima was unhappy with Imam Ali, so he went to the mosque. And the Prophet came to the mosque, and he was reprimanding him and yelling at Ali. Ali, why do you marry the daughter of Abu Jahl if you have my daughter Fatima? Look at these fabrications. Can you imagine? And many people would believe them. Many people who are naive. The reason, not just because people are naive. When people fill their stomach with haram, they become naive. The brain does not work anymore. Why we see some people today, they side with injustice. They side with arrogance, with discrimination. Today in this country, when the stomach is filled with haram, every vein in the body carries haram blood, haram cells, then the brain does not function. Allah says the brain of the virtuous is the safer brain. Allah says my ayat and my signs and my way are only followed and discovered لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Who are أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ? Those who have a brain. Who are? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of the heaven and the earth and the rotation of the day and the night are signs for those who have brains. Then he says, who are those who have brains? الَّذِينَ, those who always remember God. They fear him. They are virtuous. They are pious. They don't violate. They don't break the law. They don't touch something. If something is haram, they don't touch it. They don't eat it. They don't consume anything which is haram. The money, if it does not belong to them, they don't touch it. Those are الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبٍ. They are always connected to God. Those are أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. They follow the truth. They incorporate their aql and their reason. But those who are mired in haram, illegal things, they leave no safe brain for themselves to think. Believe me. The brain is intoxicated. There is a virus inside their brains. Does not allow them to see the truth. Does not allow them to see the truth. Keep yourself safe from haram. If you want your mind to stay safe, if you want your thinking to be healthy, and you find your way, keep your body from anything which is illegal. Stay away from illegal things. Don't break the law. Don't violate. Every violation, every single violation of God's law is going to intoxicate our brain, our thinking. And this is exactly what Muawiyah did. Muawiyah encouraged people to be thieves, to steal from each other. There is no virtuous state. State that is based on corruption. And from old days they said, "An-nasu ala dini mulukihim." The masses, usually they follow the tradition and the path of their leaders. If the political establishment is healthy and safe and virtuous, most likely people are going to follow the virtue. If the political establishment is corrupt, most likely people are going to follow suit. Most likely. Not all, but the majority. The majority. And this is what Muawiyah did for 40 years. And Imam Hassan stood to resist the rule of Muawiyah until he gave his life at the age of 46, when they gave him the poison at the age of 46. And I'm going to continue on this hadith tomorrow, inshallah, during the Friday prayers. But how did Imam Hassan die? He was given a poison, and while he was suffering and throwing the blood, Imam Hussein alayhi salam came to him. So his older brother, Hassan alayhi salam, he said, "Akhi Aba Abdullah, my brother Hussein, لقد سقيت السم, I have been given the poison, and I am going to leave you and leave my family soon. First of all, I have children, I want you to take care of them. You are responsible for them, to raise them. And second, I want you to take care of this path, the path of our father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salatu wassalam, and our grandfather, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To continue your struggle, your resistance against corruption. And as my grandfather told me, when you want to bury me next to my grandfather, they are not going to allow you. So if that happens, please take me to Baqi'a, to the cemetery of Baqi'a. And I don't want any bloodshed in my funeral. If Bani Umayyah, they say no, he cannot be buried with his grandfather, then don't bury me there. Take me to the Baqi'a. So when Imam Hassan alayhi salam died, Banu Hashim, they got together, they carried his janazah from his house, which is very close to the masjid. And Imam Hussein was there, Abdullah ibn Abbas and the rest of the Bani Hashim family, they carried the coffin of Imam Hassan to bring him inside the mosque of his grandfather, to bring him inside the house where he was raised in. He was raised in that house. But they did not allow him. Marwan ibn al-Hakam, who was standing there, he said, "No, this is impossible. رُبَّ هَيْجَا هِيَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ دِعَةٍ." Marwan said, "I will go for war rather than peace." أَيُدْفَنُ الْحَسَنُ عِنْدَ جَدِّهِ أَيُدْفَنُ عُثْمَانُ فِي أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ وَيُدْفَنُ الْحَسَنُ عِنْدَ جَدِّهِ. Do you allow Uthman to be buried far away, and then you want to bury Hassan with his grandfather? كَلَّا لَا يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ وَقَوَائِمُنَا وَسُيُوفُنَا بِأَيْدِينَا. We would not allow that while we hold the swords. So janazatul imam at the door of the masjid, they did not even allow the janaza to be inside the masjid, to come and pay the farewell to the grave of the Prophet. And then they rained the janazah with arrows. Many arrows they hit the sacred body of the Imam salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. Here Imam Hussein said, "Let's go to the Baqi'." They took the janazah to the Baqi', where you can see his grave. The grave is still lonely today in Baqi'. And he buried him there. He took the body of his sibling, of his brother, inside the grave. أدهن رأسي أم تطيب محاسني أدهن رأسي أم تطيب محاسني وخدك معفور وأنت تريب غريب وأطراف البيوت تحوطه ألا كل من تحت التراب غريب بكائي طويل والدموع غزيرة وأنت بعيد والمزار قريب إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Inshallah, the majalis of Arba'een are going to be on November 9th, 10th, and 11th. 9th and 10th are going to be in English, inshallah, and 11th in Arabic. And Wafatul Nabi, the following weekend, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're going to have Thursday and a Friday in English and Saturday in Farsi, inshallah. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Please raise your hand to recite this ayah 5 times. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 يا الله اللهم اكشف السوء عنا اللهم فرج عنا وعن المؤمنين اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.